Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about the evolving landscape of relationships and sexuality over the years. Today, you'll be meeting Dr. Aleda Hines, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who helps people with the complexities, challenges, and joys that come with age and intimate relationships, and is passionate about promoting healthy, fulfilling relationships that include empowering women to embrace their sexuality at any age. Welcome to the show, Ali. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here with you.
I'm so happy you're here too. And I heard you were in Charlotte. I started to think about the time that I was in Charlotte and I had the best ice cream, but I know we're not going to just be talking about ice cream today. We're going to have a great conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story. We'll be talking about your business and what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting into your way in some extent, might be challenging for you in your life as well as being a business owner. So let's get started with asking you how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and what it is that you do in the world. So take it away.
Thank you. Sure. That's a lot of questions, right?
I know.
My age. Well, I'm 58. I'm 58 years old. Happy to be 58. And so I always think, okay, two more years, I'm 60. That's in my mind. Okay.
Is it really? Because I turned 60 this year and it was so interesting to watch my mind. And sometimes I was completely cool. And other times I was like, wow, I'm 60. I can't believe it. Like, it definitely was surprising. It was a surprising.
Yeah. I have the same feeling, right? It's like in 2 years, I'm 60. So I am like kind of what I want to accomplish, it's like how I want to feel when I'm 50, 60. And I want to do certain things. So when I am 60, I say, yeah, I did it, right? Kind of this idea is like, I have two more years to accomplish this and this and this.
Perfect.
So I'm excited about that. And the other question, I have been in the field for 22 years. I'm really passionate about helping couples. I have a big story, like a different story that probably brought me to that passion of helping couples to be successful, happy, not just content, and having a sex life, active sex life, alive, no matter the age. So I have been 22 years in this journey, working, studying. Because this is a journey, my journey has been one of continuous learning, growth, and empowerment. It's never end. That's the truth. Never ends. Probably when I hit 60, I will have a different project. I'm sure about that. And the world, okay, like it's the same. It's my passion always has been helping couples. I do believe on relationships, on healthy relationships, not just to be with someone, not to be alone. That's not healthy. It's just to really be with someone ideally for you and to share because you need someone. I remember someone one day, I was in my gym and a girl told me, I don't need a guy. You know, I am so independent. I can do my house. I can do all the guy stuff. I have my boat and I do my boat. I don't need them. So I'm not going to get married. And I say, hey, but let me tell you something. When you are in a relationship and a healthy, passionate relationship, it's not because you need someone to help you. It's because you want to share all the wonderful things that you have and that you are able to do. And that person probably is going to be like you. And you are going to share all your potentials. and you're going to enjoy life a lot more. That's for sure. You enjoy life in a different way. So I have been married in that traditional way, like married because you married, you're supposed to be married and have kids. So I did that. And then I was single after my divorce for 10 years. That's a lot, uncommon. But I learned a lot and I studied and I grew. And then I have been married for 13 years. But that, and a different, with a different perspective. I am married now too. Before I was just married. I have to be married, right? Whoever, the best candidate. Now I am married too. It's like a choice, a very conscious choice with someone that is like me. Well, not exactly like me, but it's like me that we can share a lot of things together, including the bedroom. And then we can have a life of delight, you know, a delightful life, a joy, and the challenges, we can navigate the challenges together. It's not that you don't have problems or challenges. It's that how you deal with those problems and growing and learning together. It's just very exciting. So that's the idea of a relationship, that you share a life project, right? With someone, not just because you need someone.
Yeah, definitely. Well, how did you end up doing what you're doing?
Yeah, it's a long story, right? And I don't know how to begin, but usually I begin by saying that. So as a sexologist, I start because I was invited to a conference to speak about homosexuality long, 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 very long ago. And I was working with couples already. And then I say, okay, I'm going to get ready to talk about homosexuality. That's a very fascinating topic to me. It's a complex and deep and amazing, right? So especially in countries like Latin countries, they have a lot of taboo, right? So I have to be very careful. So I was nervous, but at the same time excited, right? And then I did my presentation, and to my surprise, it was amazing. It was really good. And then I was invited to TV shows. And then from one TV show to another, and then like for 5 years consecutive, like amazing. So it's funny because in the beginning, they used to, because I was able to talk about sexual orientation, homosexuality, couples. They start talking to me like, oh, doctor, the sexologist. And I'm not a sexologist. You know, I'm not. Don't say that. I was like, oh, my God. And they start doing it. And they say, okay, one moment. I like this idea. And then I went to the school. I did a master in sexology and couples counseling. And then I say, there you go. Now you can call me sexologist. That was like, but I really wanted to do it, right? But I needed that, like that push, you know, like that passion to really take the step and go to school to do a master. But that was pretty long, long, long ago. Now, how did this start? Well, I grew up in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, right? So the first 7 years of my life were a symphony of happiness. Really, that's how I remember it. And all orchestrated by my parents. See? So that's my memory. Like happy couples dancing in the amazing street of Rio de Janeiro, samba music. So I was exposed to happy couples since young age, including my parents, right? So I grew up with that idea. But then when I moved to Venezuela, not just because it was a Venezuela, the problem, it's just that magically, I don't know, all those happy couples start like becoming like unhappy, miserable, and ended up in divorce, including my parents, the happy parents that I used to have.
Oh,
they just,
really?
They divorced. And then I was so surprised. And I say, okay, people unit, they are happy and content for a while. And then eventually they fall into misery and unhappiness, and they hate each other. And they ended up in divorce, separation, whatever. And I stick to my mind, right? And I was, so I did my BS in psychology and family science. And then I did my study in sexology and couple counseling and my PhD in human sexuality. But always, that's the formal education. But in between, I have a lot of classes on, you call deep psychology and NLP, you name it. A lot of like trying to understand the complexities of relationships, right? And I ended up divorced. That's the funny part. Okay. I ended up divorced. So I was kind of part of my research, my own self, right? My parents, my everybody, and me, myself. So that was pretty interesting, right? So changing my narrative all the time and learning and growing and trying to understand. And then my passion was, okay, what are the key for, because this is not a natural thing. People think that that's inevitable. That's a lot that you ended up passionless, sexless, boring, just roommates or friends. If you have a good relationship, then you get along and you are a good roommate. You know, you respect each other, but you are not connected. You don't have intimacy. You don't have a sex life. And I was like, is that supposed to be that way? So guess what? Through all my career and my studies, I find out that's not the truth. That's not true. That's not that this is not an inevitable situation, like that you're going to have wrinkles. That's, you can avoid that. Even if you have surgery, you're going to have wrinkles, right? But the situation of relationships and sexless, it's not that on a, like it's going to happen. It's not a natural phenomenon.
Interesting. So what happens, Allie? What happens?
Well, what happened is that the so-called familiarity when you are together, so you think that's it, right? That's it, and we love each other. But then you start paying attention, and your priorities are work, money. Because you have to build your house and your living, make a living. And then if you have kids, even worse, they are not sexy at all. They are wonderful, but they are not sexy at all. And so you start navigating in familiarity, in a level that I call the first level of interaction is just as a family. And work, and then you get tired, but you... The love life that you used to have is not longer important. So what happens is you create different habits that do not prioritize your relationship or your sex life. And as you age, you start thinking, oh, that's not for me. That's ridiculous. Oh, it's going to, because the myth, you know, those myths, the ignorance make us really be miserable. That's a sort of misery is being ignored, right? So you think that that's normal. And if you normalize that situation in your relationship, like I am unhappy, this is normal, and sex is for guys, they are the ones that have a sex drive. That's for them, not for me. It's especially with all those myths that we have in society about sexual desire, especially female sexual desire, that they make us believe that we have a sex drive, like guys, we don't. So it's like, so you don't feel something like down there, like them, like a dog, I'm horny, and then you have a problem. Oh, you have a problem because you're not horny and you don't have a sex drive like guys. And then you start feeling inadequate, even broken. I hear that, like, you're not broken, but they feel like something is wrong with me. And then you age and menopause, right? Or premenopause. And then you start feeling like, oh, that's not for me. Of course, then you create habits that will not allow you to enjoy intimate situations. And plus, your erotic life just go. It's like the lust get lost, like I say, L-U-S-T, lust get lost. No more lust, just love. But love is important to sustain. It's the base, the foundation, right? It's important. But love is not enough. It's not going to keep the passion alive and desire. So all this dynamic happens. And I have a lot of models that I wrote in my book. I did my book explaining all of that. And then that's what happens. And then you normalize that in your relationship. And then sometimes so you wake up and say, hey, this is not what I want. And you have a friend that has amazing sex life and she's 60 or 70, 75, 80. And you say, oh my goodness, why? How? Is that possible? Yeah, it is absolutely, because it's not a law. It's just something that comes from myth, from the darkness of not talking about sexuality and relationship. Right.
So as we're talking, I'm looking at you in a Zoom square and I can see a big poster behind you of the title of your book, Make Love 365 Times a Year, 7 Sex Secrets. So as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, oh my God, 365 times a year. So what are these sex secrets? Because I'm sure a lot of midlife women don't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. And I have even clients and friends that I'm 58, right? And my husband is 61. And they say, I'm sorry for this inappropriate question, but I wonder if you wrote the book and you believe in that, do you make love every day or kind of frequently? Like, yes, we do. Absolutely, we do. And we are proud of that. But first, you have to understand the concept of lovemaking. And I have to be trying to, I have been trying to rescue the original concept of lovemaking, which is an amorous and sexual act. That's a concept, simple. Amorous, meaning loving, sexual act. So you mix the two of them. So, and then it's a mix, which is a tremendous harmonious situation to connect, right? So if you see it in a different way, you can understand that it is possible to make love at any age, at any time in your life. If you have a partner, you can make love to yourself. Because you are having sex with the person that you love the most, right? You love yourself and you are. And by the way, it's so important to understand that sexuality is not just for guys or is something for just pleasure, which is really great, but it's a healthy thing. It's just, it has an impact in your overall well-being and in your relationship. So it's not just for my partner. Whatever partner it is, it's just for you, for your health, for your mental health and your physical health. And no one talk about that. No one.
No. Can you go a little bit more into that? Because you're right. Nobody. I haven't heard that talked about so much. So why is it good for you?
Yeah, in many ways, right? Because when you just touching genital, especially with a partner, you deactivate cortisol and you activate oxytocin that will make you de-stress, stress relief, not like be calm. And when you make love, it's love making is not the CC or stupid version of having sex. No, that's what the popular I did in my book, I did a little research asking people all ages and relationships or not, what are the difference for them about sex? What they think when they say sex or lovemaking. And it's so funny to see, like, lovemaking is a boring version. It's boring or it's romantic or a lot of, you know, or it's religion to say not to say sex. So a lot of, but it's not. It can be any type of sex that you want, but the key element is love. As long as you, both of you, know that you are aware that you love each other and you have consensual relationship and you have respect and you are kind to each other and accept the limitations, and that you understand that person and you understand yourself, that you love yourself, you appreciate yourself. That's lovemaking. So an age, any woman. So it's not like, oh, I love it, estimate. No, because we are not talking about having orgasm all the time or sexual performance or anything like that. So the idea of my book is to bring couples, right? A guy, to help them keep a relationship alive, exciting, and sexually satisfied. And this is going to have an impact in your mental health because of the release of a lot of great chemicals, right? And not only that, it has a lot of empowerment in your brain, and you feel a different, right? If you have a different attitude and also a connection to your partner.
Yeah.
So I have a colleague that she dedicated her book to all the benefits of sex, all the benefits. It's just an amazing book. But my book is not about the benefits, like a little bit, but how the impact that it has in your relationship and in your own life, right? In your health, overall health. And so when working with couples, I found 7 critical areas that I call 7 sex secrets. I call that 7 sex secrets, but those 7 sex secrets are 7 critical areas that determine the quality of your love life.
Oh, let's hear them.
Yeah, because everybody talk about the quality of your relationship, but what do you mean by that? So what I found from people lacking, like you lack of certain things, oh, that's what you need then. See? And then that's why I formulate my secrets. So the first one is your mindset. The mindset starts in the brain, but it's the mind. It's the mind that sends the messages. It can be positive or negative. So then you can have an amazing body, an amazing attitude, an amazing partner, an amazing environment. You can have the great context, but if your mindset, if you don't have a sexual erotic mind, it's not going to work. Because it's not about the body, it's about the mind and your attitude for sex and your partner, of course. So I start by your sexual mindset. So in my secret number one, I talk about the mind and the importance of your mind, right? Number two is a healthy lifestyle. Sometimes people love it and other people are like, oh, you mean that we have to be like athletic for having to make love? No. This is not what I mean. Is because you have to take care of your body as much as possible. I'm 58 and sometimes I have more energy than a 30-year-old person.
Yeah.
See, it's not, it's because you need to build your energy. It's not about the shape, body shape, or if you are fit or hot. No, it means that you take care of your health. You sleep well, you take water, you eat as much, as better as possible. Hey, it's funny because me and my husband, we were in a conference in Turkey. I was in Istanbul last week. I was in Istanbul and in Germany, in Denmark, all of that. And we came home and we got sick, really sick. We were in bed, both of us like, oh my goodness, we feel like, I think we were like very tired and then pretend to do our regular life, well, whatever. The fact is that we were in bed, right? And then we were holding hands with fever, like feeling crap. And then I said, you see how important is the body? Because we have a positive mind, we love each other, we are very erotic. We make love all the time, but see, our body are dead. Like we feel we low energy, sick. We cannot even barely touch each other. How come you're going to make love? There is no way.
Right.
Right? So it's important to keep a healthy body. It's your vehicle. And number three is your loving feelings. Because sometimes what happens is that women sometimes say, no, sex is not for me. I don't want that. And sometimes it's not that they don't want sex. It's that they don't want sex with that person. Because if you have resentment, hard feelings, unsolved feelings, right, issues, you start disconnecting in an emotional way. How come you're going to make love? It's not true. You see? So it's important to really work on your feelings and solve that. That's through communication and all of that, right? Then your expressions. I talk about expression. It's important to communicate your feelings, not just verbally, but non-verbally, and your micro-expressions and all of that is important. Then secret number five is finding pleasures. Because if you are not able in a society where everybody's busy, 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 I don't have time for anything. Yeah, but you have to make the time, right? Companies just, they treat you like machines. You are the one that have to say, hey, I'm not a machine. I'm doing my job, period. And so if you don't find pleasure in small activities like, hey, let's have a cup of a glass of wine or a cup of tea together, like 10 minutes. How come you're going to enjoy intense pleasure like lovemaking? So I talk about that too. And so the pleasure, the capacity for pleasure. And secret number six is very important, which is eroticism, your erotic life, which is the bridge. I call that the stairs. I do a lot of models because of my English. You know, I have, that's one of my challenge, my English. And I say, okay, in order for people to understand, I have create ton of analogies and models to explain complex things. So I have analogy for sex, for your sex life, for everything, for relationships, and I have models. So I have a model for erotism, which is a stairways to sexual pleasure. It's like a bridge or a stair. You go from affection, but you have to go build up with your erotic life to have then sexual activities. When you don't do that, it's like very mechanical. It feels horrible. Sex per se, it's nothing. It's not that
weird.
Yeah, without the passion and your erotic life. So
right.
It's like a coffee just without, just with water, or just plain or something. So you need your erotic life. That's my secret number six. And then number seven, the last one, is sexual techniques. A little bit of anatomy, learning about, you know, your body, your body parts, and the mechanics of sex and positions. But that's, people get more interested on those topics.
Yeah, I love the way you broke that down. So we've got the seven secrets: mindset, healthy lifestyle, loving feeling, finding pleasures, eroticism, and sexual techniques.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
What would you say from midlife women is the most common question that people have for you?
In women in the middle, you mean clients?
Yeah. Yeah. What do they come to you? Like when they're Googling, what are they looking for?
For to fix their desire. They always complain. That's the most typical. It's like, I don't have desire, but they don't see it as, I don't know what is that, or they exploring to have more. They do it because the demanding husband they have. It's like, okay, my husband is just pushing me and I'm tired and I feel broken. I feel something wrong with me. And it's like they are very pity to themselves. And I, wait a minute. And I have to explain both of them. So I have to really explain her, to take her and explain that you are not broken. You're beautiful. it doesn't matter your age. The thing is that you have a desire that you have to cultivate. And we respond to, our desire comes from outside in. We have to respond to the context, to a good relationship. That's why the secret number three is so important, that you have loving feelings toward each other, because you're going to respond to those loving feelings. See, it's not a mechanic. And then I help them to understand the difference between sex and lovemaking. Hey, we are not doing a porno movie. This is not a porn movie that you have to perform. I hate that word. That you have to perform, you have to scream, and you have to do all those narratives that pornography has touched you, right? Mm-hmm. It's not true. And then you are scared. You don't know what to do, and you feel so helpless. And when I explain the concept and what is lovemaking, and that is a beautiful thing to connect to your partner. You love that person, yes. Because if you don't love that person, that is going to be a problem, right? Let's start by that. But if you love that person is, you like that person, but you are so afraid of not feeling horny, of those narrative, of the acts and all the, you know, so those misunderstandings and myths. But when you take out all those myths, and then you just enjoy, you know, the pleasure of being with your partner, and then you see how simple and beautiful and deep it is, and then you start wanting more. See, that's desire. You want more. But want more of what? You want more of what? Of those activities, of those moments, pleasure moments. That's, I can't wait to be in my husband's arm. Not because, an orgasm or anything like that. No, it's just because I love that person, and I smell, and we have cultivated our erotic life. So I know I am an olfactive person. I smell him, and I'm ready.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you so much for explaining all that. And now I want to ask you a couple of questions of, like, you clearly love what you're doing and your path to creating this business and having natural curiosity and kind of being featured as a TV star for sexuality without having all of the education. And now you have everything. It's so great. So tell us, what are the midlife challenges you face when you're trying to run your business? What's it like to be a 58-year-old woman in your business dealing with midlife stuff?
Yeah, my first one is my language, right? It's like when I was in my country and I was in TV show, I feel like, this is it. You know, I have my master's degree, I'm on the top, and I feel great. I was making lots of money, I was independent, alone, young, very young. I was in my 40s. So young, independent, with a lot of money, famous. Oh my goodness, what else, right? And then I was when I got home in my big house, I was lonely with someone to share again, right? There is no one to understand and share, like a partner. And so that was missing. And then I said, that's a long story, right? How we met. But then I find this guy and we fall in love, and then where we are going to live. He was here in the United States, and then, I have to move there. When I came here, zero, I have to start over.
Yeah.
And starting over at 45, almost 50. So I was thinking like now, in 5 years, I'm going to be 50. Oh my goodness. I have to do something. So I did my PhD. But my language always has been kind of my biggest challenge.
Mm.
And so especially now.
Yeah. And why do you say that? Especially now?
Now, it's still being a challenge. Now that we have the media, that we doing the podcast and the Instagram and all of that. So it's more challenging for me.
I see what you mean.
And you know, everybody knows that it's harder as you age. kind of learning another language only, or at least improving it. And another challenge is the menopause. I broke two bones.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that I have low density. See, I was before wine, no wine involved. So I was perfect. And then I broke my wrist this way, the right hand. And I, oh my goodness. So that was a huge challenge. And then 2 years later, I broke my ankle. That happens because I was hitting to menopause and my bone lowered the density and all of that together, right? That was a huge challenge because I am a person that like high heels. I love heels. And then with a broken wrist.
Oh, my goodness.
A broken ankle. But I overcome that challenge.
Well, another thing you mentioned in your notes is money mindset and how that has come up for you. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, in the sense of accepting, okay, I'm not a 40-year-old woman anymore, but I am almost 60 and it's perfectly great. And I have to see things. So you know I have a conclusion. One day I will research this more and amplify this. But I think that we have like exploratory sex. Well, we have phases in our sex life. We all grow, like not just child development, the child development, they grow, but also adult development, we grow and change and improve. But also as lovers, we have to improve too. We have to grow as lovers. So I think we have five stages. It's like first exploratory, then defining yourself, reproductive phase. Then you have the discovery phase. And then you have the connectivity phase that you really want to connect. And that's a mindset stage, right? That you have to grow that mindset and understand what is the advantage now. It's like, I mentally feel sharper than before, but my body is slower.
Right. So I guess that I know in your notes, you talked about the hormonal changes and you just mentioned it as well. So that's really been a thing for you, it sounds like.
It's
really affected you.
It has been, it's tough to see the role for hormones, right? Mm. And not just impacting your sex life, knowing my sex life, hopefully, because I have a very, very highly positive mindset. And also, the more you do it, the more you do it. It's like, okay, this is not affecting but it's affecting other areas, right? Sometimes I'm very active. Sometimes I get tired easily than before. The problem with the bones and the problem with sometimes like wanted to be faster and saying, hey, you take it easy, right? Especially when we're traveling, we were like, okay, before we never got tired. We can walk the whole cities, like we never get tired. Now we're exhausted. Kind of. And I think that's the mindset and of the, it's not that you cannot, it's that you have to do it slower.
Right, right. Exactly. There's lots of adjustments that have to be made for energy. That's something that's coming up a lot in this, with all the people I'm interviewing. So what are you focusing on next in your business?
Book? Yeah. Beside my clients, I don't think I'm going to stop. Seeing my clients, I love that more and more. But also, I already did my book, right? So my first book, Make Love 365 Times a Year, I thought that was it. You know, like, okay, I have a book, I'm done. No, it happens that I am about to finish a second and a third book that is coming, I hope, next year. And so I am planning to really have those books for my 60s, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to say, well, I have three books out there. And I hope one day I have a bestseller. That's kind of my super dream, and become more a writer, right? I feel that I have a lot to say, and I have all this knowledge that I have accumulated over the years with working with couples, with people all over the world, with all type of cultures and backgrounds, ages from 20s to 80s. So I think I can have an impact in the world. I can help a lot of people, regardless age and nationality. And I speak in Spanish. I do, do sessions in Spanish, English. And so because of, I know the body gets slow when you get tired. So, but no, my mind is full of energy. So I say, okay, this is the time now to give it a turn, to start doing more intellectual work, like writing. Well, private practice is intellectual, but you have to go there. You have to dress up, you have to take the car, and you have to go there. And to me, it takes time, to do all of that. You have to have your session, and it's a lot of energy to deal with a couple.
Oh, yeah, definitely a lot of energy.
A lot of energy.
Well, I have to tell you, you did a great job on naming this book. Make Love 365 Times a Year. I mean, it's a pretty good title. So tell me, how can people best get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can in my website, www.aleidahines.com, is A-L-E-I-D-A, Aleida Hines, H-E-I-N-Z.com.
What about your Instagram?
Oh, Dr. Aleida Hines is D-R-A-L-E-I-D-A Hines, H-E-I-N-Z.
Perfect. That's great. Aleida.
Yes.
That's amazing. So thank you so much, Allie. It's been amazing to have you on. It was fun talking about sex in midlife. I loved the way you went through those 7 secrets. And I love your story. You're really making a huge contribution. And the midlife ladies, we need you. That's for sure.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We would love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.